to find out more about his secrets to success in helping fix and improve your credit. 800-490-4140.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Well, good afternoon. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. He and his beautiful bride are up in one of the most spectacularly gorgeous places in the world. They're at camp. They're at the Lake Louise and Banff in Canada, celebrating Anne's birthday. So happy birthday to Anne. And just enjoy the most beautiful scenery you can imagine. So sitting in for Bill today, I see that the stock market has done its Tuesday thing and has gone just about level on us, even though it was up over 300 points earlier. So I was hoping that it could take care of itself without my watching it, but nope. We'll see what it's done by the end of the show. We'll just fill you in on where it is. So today I am very, very happy and honored to have for my guest here in the studio for the entire hour the former two-term mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. Mr. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you, Shelley. It should be a fun hour, hopefully.
And just before we get to the stuff that we're going to have fun talking about today, how are you doing and what are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. Not being in the world of politics probably makes life a little more relaxing, not quite 24/7. Sometimes you kind of see what people are doing and you wish that you were there, but it's a big world with lots of things to do. I'm practicing law at my law firm, doing a lot of work in the state and business fields, and have a good sized law firm, so can care of people, if not me, others in my firm. I'm teaching at the law school, which has been great. I'm teaching state and local law, which is something that I know a little bit about and probably get a little into that today. And that's been fabulous and kind of kept me in the game. And then I've had for 3 years now, because it's been 3 years that I've been out of office, a thing called the Civic and Political Leadership Academy, where young people, we've now graduated about 33, 34 people, come for a full Saturday, 8 Saturdays through the course of the year, once a month, and kind of learn about how to run for office, how to help people run for office, how to do initiatives. And that's really been gratifying. It's interesting to watch. And about halfway through the course, they do sort of a elevator speech, whatever they're looking
to
do.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and then they're so much better by the end. And it's been a lot of fun.
How can prospective participants find out more about it?
Yeah, so it's really, we do it in conjunction with Greater Tucson Leadership.
Okay.
So if you go on the Greater Tucson Leadership website and ask, they can direct you to the application form. And in fact, we just finished a class and we'll probably start recruiting we'll probably start in February. So now is the time to find out.
That's great.
It is
super.
Great. Yep.
So I should say that, Bill has been doing this show now for 11 years or something like that. And I've been with him the whole time, every Tuesday. And the Buckmaster Show broadcast from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. And the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And I think that's really important today. I think the way we're going to run this show today, hopefully we'll get some listener participation. So I just remind everybody that the live line is 520-790-2040, 790-2040. And please, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, don't hesitate to call. I know our listeners aren't usually shy, but let me just prompt them a little bit to participate if they feel so motivated. For some context, I came to Tucson in 1988, left New York City when New York City was in one of its lowest periods you can imagine. It was dirty. It was infested. It was badly run. and I was just ready to leave. And I came to Arizona when the governor of Arizona was a guy by the name of Evan Mecham. And the politics in Arizona at the time seemed highly charged. I mean, politics, certainly in the East Coast, was always not reticent. I mean, you know, people were very happy to call each other names and be very specific about what they believed and what they didn't believe. But here in Arizona, it seemed like something was wrong, because the governor just seemed like out of step with even his own party and some of the things he was talking about. Today, I think that Governor Mecham would be more middle of the road, or viewed as more middle of the road than a right-wing radical. And that's the context that I find the political climate today is such a disturbing kind of mix of polarized people who are talking past each other and don't even seem to have the willingness to talk to each other. But, you know, we have to. Otherwise, this country is going to fall apart, and it's too precious to let it fall apart. So my objective today, along with Mayor Rothschild, is to help find some answer to how we might get this country back to its more normal level of political discourse.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to leave.
I mean, I'm not sure that Ev Mecham was so different than what we see today. And maybe my perspective changed, but at the time, he was an outlier. He was impeached.
Right.
And he was impeached. And not for really political reasons, but there were crimes and misdemeanors that the legislature had found. And that's pretty extreme whenever you go there. But you're right, on the national scene over the years since then, we've seen impeachments be something that, you know, they impeached Bill Clinton. Donald Trump was impeached twice. We're hearing about if Republicans take over Congress, they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden. And that does speak a lot to the polarization issue.
Right. And that's what I think we can talk about today in a way that certainly isn't non-denominational. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that you ran and governed as a Democrat.
Yep.
And I think anybody who's listened to this show with my segments on it understands that my leanings are fairly far to the left, though I hope not too radical to hinder discussion. So in this first part of the show, what I'd like to talk about a little bit are the things that are unique to Arizona. Without getting into the candidates, perhaps we can first start with some of the ballot propositions.
Sure.
And there is an election coming up. It's in about 30 days. And there are a gazillion propositions on the ballot that are really hard to, you know, get your way through. And so I thought let me first just let people know, if they don't already know, the propositions come in 100, 200, 300, and 400 series. The 100 series are constitutional amendments. The 200 series are citizen initiatives. The 300 series are legislative initiatives. And there are no 400 series on the ballot this year, so they would be local ballot initiatives, for instance, specific to Tucson. The first of the constitutional amendments, 128, is calls for legislative action to revise or cancel any existing initiative or referendum. And I suppose you have some feelings about that.
I do. And Shelley, as you said, what's unique to Arizona? One of the things that's unique to Arizona, minority of states more than before, is the ballot initiative.
Right.
So when Arizona became a state in 1913, it was the progressive era, and the initiative process was put into the Arizona Constitution. At the time, there were only several states that had that. I think it was Taft who was at the president at the time, and he said, unless you take the initiative process out of your constitution, we won't let you be a state.
Right.
And they did take it out. They became a state. At the first legislative session, they put it back in. So, you know, I don't know how different we are. But the voter, so the initiative process, right, wrong, or indifferent, is one that's ingrained in Arizona and allows Arizona citizens to make decisions when the legislature really is out of step. And it is fascinating when you look at how we elect and who we elect, and we could have long conversations about the primary process and the partisan process, it all goes to polarization, that the legislature does sometimes seem to be out of step. That's what the initiative process is for. This ballot proposition, this constitutional amendment, would allow lawmakers to change the Voter Protection Act, which was something that was passed by the Arizona voters. And it says that once Arizona voters pass an initiative, it takes 3/4 majority of the both chambers to change it, and it must further the intent of the voter-approved law. Well, this initiative sounds good, like a lot of these
sure.
do, because what it says is, oh, no, this will allow the legislature to change things that the voters pass that are unconstitutional. Well, if the voters pass it, it's not unconstitutional, number one. It may be not
if
great.
If the president does it, it may not be great.
Well, these are the people. It may be not great law. So the argument is, you know, the people sometimes pass initiatives with unintended consequences. Well, that's true. So this will allow us to change it. The argument against it is, wait a second. This is exactly what the process is for, to allow the people to have a vote. And you're shifting power away from the people to the legislature, and the people have spoken pretty loudly.
And it's just a majority that's required. Is that correct?
It is just a majority for this.
For this.
There's something on the ballot that is even worse,
right?
The 60% thing, which we can get to. And sometimes you need to look at who's supporting and who's opposing. So in this case, the supporters are the Arizona Free Enterprise, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, the Center for Arizona Policy. Those are all names for pretty conservative groups.
Right.
Who's opposing it? The League of Women Voters, One Arizona, Living United for Change, Lucha, Save Our Schools Arizona, Sierra Club. Also pretty liberal groups. In this case, I don't think it's a liberal conservative issue. I really don't think it is. It's an issue of whether you believe the people of Arizona should be able to have the right to the initiative process.
Exactly.
And, you know.
And we'll see where that goes.
We'll see where that goes.
So I need to put in a plug right now for a book
please.
That most voters, registered voters, should have gotten in the mail. It's called What's on My Ballot. It's big, thick booklet, you know, some 300 pages long, and it's daunting. You have to really deliberately go after reading this, but it takes a look at all the ballot initiatives, quotes them word for word, and then gives an explanation of a simplified explanation of what they do, and the full panoply of arguments for and against each one of the ballot initiatives. I would strongly encourage our listeners, if they don't already have this, to get a copy of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the problems is you can be a pretty informed voter and not be a fully informed voter.
Exactly.
And this is put out by, I believe, the Secretary of State. It's called What's on My Ballot. It's the Arizona 2022 General Election Publicity Pamphlet. It is put out by the Secretary of State.
Right.
It's an absolute must-read if you want to
be. And it's non-denominational.
It absolutely is. It gives both sides all the way through.
Okay. We're going to take a break. I should say that our friends over in Silver City and Grand County are ready to welcome you back with open arms. Since they've been ready to welcome you back, I've been there. It's been great. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there's so much to do in Silver City and Grand County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where there's plenty of social distancing and visiting the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay in New Mexico, visit southwestnewmexico.org, and we'll take a break and be back in just a couple of minutes with Mayor Jonathan Rothschild.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
And we're back. Shelley Fishman filling in for Bill Buckmaster with my guest here in the studio for the hour, the former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. And we were talking about the propositions on the ballot coming up in a month for votes. And we talked a little bit about 128, but I think there are a couple of others that we should probably mention. One is a 300 series ballot, which means that the ballot initiative, which means it was proposed by the legislature, and it's 308, which establishes a 2-year residency requirement for in-state tuition levels at state universities. Now, that doesn't sound like a really important thing, but I'm afraid it might be.
Well, what's interesting about it is the bipartisan support it's received.
Right.
You know, it is supported by the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, the Arizona Education Association, things like Local First, Stand Up for Children. And it's really repealing a proposition from 2006 where the people of Arizona said that if you're not a citizen of the state, of the United States, that you're not eligible for in-state tuition. Again, maybe on the face of it sounds good. The problem is that over the past 20 years, we've had a whole generation of students grow up in this country who came here when they were small children, were educated in our schools, did exceptionally well in high school, and now it's time for them to go to college.
And we need them educated and in the workforce.
They're the dreamers.
They are.
And they're going to be here. And certainly to lose them is to lose all those years of investment. All this law is saying is that those students who've grown up here their whole life, okay, can get in-state tuition. It's not saying that they get any extra taxpayer money. It's not saying that they get anything for free. It's just saying they'll be treated as if they had been here instead of from, you know, the age of two, you know, had been born here. The only difference. And so, you know, it's got a whole lot of support across the spectrum. The former president of the state Senate, Russell Pierce, and we may remember him for, you know, for the, you know, some of the laws related to Joe Arpaio and the like, you know, he's against it. But it's a law that hopefully will pass. It's good for the state in just about every way you can imagine.
Right. So one of the things that's important, because I deal with economic issues so often on this program, is just understanding the need we have in this country for educated people. And the fact that we hear so much about how expensive it is to go even to a state college.
Oh, it is.
I mean, when I entered City College in New York, it was free. It's not free anymore, and that certainly was not a community college. That was one of the, you know, finest four-year engineering schools in the country. It was free. So today, in order to avoid those levels of debt, to allow people who have been here for more than 2 years, who graduated from high school here, and who qualify for entrance, to do so at the kind of tuition levels that other residents of the state would get, seems to me like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, and that really is the important thing here, is it's not a giant break, okay? You know, if you're living here and a graduate of the Arizona high school system and been here, you're going to pay the same in-state tuition as the rest of us are paying, and you're right. That's another whole topic unto itself.
Right. So I'm here substituting for Bill Buckmaster today, honored to have the former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio, and the Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I want to encourage listeners, if you'd like to have a question for the mayor or make a short comment, please don't hesitate. Call us at 520-790-2040. And in this segment, we're talking about some of the propositions. And Mr. Mayor, you mentioned the Prop 132. The new tax requires 60% of votes cast in order to pass.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a play. I try to look at both sides of these issues. I try to be able to give you both sides of the issues. This is one that it got on as an initiative, but it would amend the Constitution to require any time an initiative went which would have any increase in taxes, which could be assessments or
sure,
other things, that you would need a 60% vote. Well, the Arizona legislature, by, again, voter initiative, already requires two-thirds majority of both houses in the legislature to create any kind of increase in tax or rollback tax credits or exemptions. Makes it impossible to increase taxes, okay, at the legislative level, and it has been. You know, this was all part of that taxpayer revolt from years ago. Nobody likes new taxes, but every now and then, I can tell you three times when we were at the city, we were able to go to voters on a 50% vote,
right,
and get those increases because they were needed for our roads, for our police, for our parks, okay? This is saying at a statewide level, you'd have to get to 60% on initiative. Getting 60% of anybody to agree, and the history would show it, you know, you could get 59, 58% of the people and you couldn't raise a tax. And it's something that is really would hurt this state horribly for years to come.
And because it's a 100 series proposition, instead of just being a legislative rule, it becomes part of our Constitution.
Yep.
So, and much harder, therefore, to change
You'd have to go back again initiative on a constitutional amendment.
Right. We should talk before the break, we should talk about at least one more, and that's Prop 309, which changes the voter ID requirements for both in-person and mail-in voter registration, and seems to me to be a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So, again, and that's the problem with some of these propositions, is you can look at them on their face and it's like, okay, you know, that makes sense. What this one does is it changes the statutes to require voters to show, instead of just a photo ID, a driver's license, you know, you still have to show that you're registered to vote, and to show multiple pieces of mail like bank statements and the like. If you receive your ballot in the mail, you're going to have to put your birth date, your ID number, your signature on a concealed early ballot. It just makes it a lot more difficult to go through the voting process. You know, I can hear people say, well, what's the big deal? It's just another form of security. But the fact of the matter is it really
makes it harder.
It makes it a lot harder, and it adds burdens. I can tell you the people against it include the League of Women Voters, Opportunity Arizona, Arizona Education Association. But there are people that are supporting it. Again, the Heritage Action Group for America, the Arizona Free Enterprise Club, the Goldwater Institute.
So it sounds to me like voter suppression.
Okay,
I'll step over that line.
Yeah, step over that line. Voter security and voter integrity is important. Absolutely is. Okay? The fact of the matter is, when you go and look at the history of these things, there's not rampant voter fraud. They have trouble finding one or two or three people who have tried to break the rules.
God knows they've tried to find those exceptions.
We had the great cyber ninja audit. By the time they were done, Biden won by more votes than they counted.
Yeah, right.
By 100.
We need to take a break, and then we'll get back. But I'm here with Jonathan Rothschild. We're talking about the upcoming elections.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
And this is Shelley Fishman back, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, live in the studio with the former two-term mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. And I got to say that I love this portion because I get to read a commercial for one of my favorite places, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You know, Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the famous Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com or BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And, you know, go in there and don't resist anything. Just buy one of everything. So, back here talking about the election with the former mayor, we spoke a little bit about some of the propositions, and now I'd like to spend this segment talking a little bit more about the import and impact of this election coming up in just about 30 days. It's not a presidential election, and here in Tucson, it's not a local election. But for the rest of the country, it's going to determine, number one, what the House of Representatives looks like nationally, and because one-third of the Senate is up for election every 2 years, it could also change the way the Senate is constructed and how the balance of power in the Senate is divided once the election is over, starting in January. What's important to know is that for the last 2 years, we've had unified government, if you will, and if you can call that unified, with a Democratic president, a tie in the Senate that's broken by the Democratic vice president, and about, I think it's, what, 5 or 6 vote majority for the Democrats in the House of Representatives. That's all up for grabs. And so I'd like to throw that to you, Mr. Mayor. Why is this so important, and how might it change from the traditional way we've dealt with either unified or divided government going forward?
Yeah, you know, over the past maybe at least as long as I've been involved, and probably longer, oftentimes you will hear people say, oh, this is the most important election ever.
Every time.
Every time. And so you kind of get tired of hearing that.
Right.
And so I'm not going to say it's the most important election ever, but it is carrying stakes that are, I'm going to say, are unique. And it may very well be a referendum on 2024, because how this election comes out should signal something to political parties, potentially. Arizona is a good example. If, in fact, the Democrats win the governor, attorney general, and secretary of state positions, which is something they've not done in my lifetime in one election, that should signal to the Republican Party that the candidates that they chose can't get to 50%, and that could have national repercussions. On the other hand, if those three candidates win, you know, it would signal this is the path we should continue down. So that's pretty critical.
Here in Arizona.
Just in Arizona, but I think it's going to have national repercussions.
Sure.
At the federal level, you know, it's nice to have unified government if that unified government is moving in a direction and that direction is reasonable. Some people like divided government because it's a check on each other. One thing about the United States Senate is the United States Senate without the House, just with the president, determines the federal judiciary. And so that's critical for this upcoming election. Just the way recent history played itself out, there were the ability over years, and part of it's when people resign, for the Republican Party to come to take influence or control of the judiciary.
So in the first 2 years of the Biden administration, when theoretically they could have filled a Supreme Court justice seat if one became vacant and available, they had one.
Yes.
But in the lead up during the Trump administration, Mr. Trump had three. And so we now have a Supreme Court that is six conservatives and three so-called liberals. But
they're liberal.
They're pretty liberal. But what's going to happen in the next 2 years, we don't know. And so what I hear you saying is one of the most important impacts of having the Senate become Republican majority would be to make it very difficult for the president to get his judicial picks through.
Well, and again, it's a check on the president for his choices, but absolutely it would have to influence his choices. You know, traditionally, the way that's worked is in Arizona, really wouldn't matter who the president was, maybe, but you have two senators, Kelly and Sinema, who I think you could say are centrists, and they're going to make that centrist choice, should go to the president and be acceptable. That's not going to be true of all states, how that works. So that's really critical is, again, if the Democrats have that, even by that one, the Senate, it certainly makes it much easier for the president. Remember when Obama was the president, that the Senate, because it was majority Republican, stopped his last appointment, which was going to be Merrick Garland,
right?
And instead, we got Amy Coney Barrett.
Right.
That's pretty significant determination of how this country can go. And remember, once that court decides something, it's very difficult for Congress then to change it over.
Right. So that determines in many ways the direction of the country politically for a generation.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, that's the other thing. And listen, no matter which party you're in, you're going to look for that 40 to 50-year-old, not that 60 to 70-year-old to be your next Senate nomination because you want that length of service.
So what I'm curious about is your opinion that, you know, what we've heard since the 2020 election has been a lot of very heated rhetoric on the part of mostly the Republican Party that has put their feet in cement, if you will, around some notions that have not typically been part of the American, you know, dialogue. And they didn't at first. At first, there was a rejection of the January 6th insurrection. There was a rejection of the idea that the election was stolen. But with very few exceptions, Republicans have put their feet in that cement and said, this is what we're going to do if we get control of Congress. Now, is that just playing to the base? Or are they serious?
That's what you don't know. Clearly playing to the base. And what's been unfortunate about our democracy, and of course I'm one of those older folks now, but I think there's a lot of truth in looking at social media and at looking at, and this is not blaming the media itself, but if you go to Congress, like I had the privilege to do for 8 years, and visit various Congress people, you would see whenever you walked into a Republican office, Fox News was on. The only office that I ever went into where Fox News wasn't on the Republican side was John McCain.
Uh-huh.
Okay. On the Democratic side, if you walked into an office, depending on whose office it was, TVs would always be on. I mean, they should just, and it would either be CNN
or
MSNBC. Well, we can't be at those highest levels of government in tunnels. And the folks sometimes that go there, particularly in the United States House of Representatives, you know, we can look at our delegation. A lot of them came out of the state legislature. It's kind of, that's the process, right? And our primary process, I believe, is broken. And that goes for both sides. It's easy at this point in our history to look over at the Republican Party and see some of these things, you know, like this election denial thing, which is, you're right, submitted in these people's minds when there is not a factual basis anywhere. And so how do we break out of that? And I think it's very complicated. I think it's going to take structural reform. I think it's going to take, to some extent, cultural societal reform, where people are educated at an early age to understand that there can be two sides of an issue, even on the most difficult issues, where you are convinced you're 100% right, that in these kind of issues, nobody's 100% right.
Right. And so let's spend the last segment, the last quarter of the show, talking about how we begin to fix this and how we pull the country back together. Before we take a break, I should note that since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a lovely 13-acre site that's also home to Socolo Village and all those fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsarizona.com and socolovillage.com. When we come back with my guest, Mayor Rothschild, we will talk about maybe, how, you know, let's solve the problems of the world.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Now we're back. Shelley Fishman live in the Buckmaster Show Green Things Socolow Village Studio. The Buckmaster Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Please call us on 520-790-2040. I'm here with the former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, and we do have a caller. Wayne, a quick comment?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, for all you did for the city during your tenure. I have one question. How is it that you can attach a slur of an election denier to people who are on the Trump side and yet not recognize that Hillary is still denying the results of her loss to President Trump?
You might know something I don't. I'm not familiar with Hillary denying her loss. And I do think if that were to be the case, it's just so important that there be a recognition, and has been for 250, 260 years in this country, that when an election's over and all the appeals and all the challenges have come through and 40 courts in this country have said, no, we find no evidence of a fraud, that we accept that and we have an orderly transition of power. It doesn't matter who the political party is. That's
right.
Critical.
I fully agree, Mr. Mayor, but I've got to point out in this case that on the night after the election, Hillary called Mr. Trump and conceded the election. So whether she has her suspicions about what went on, she didn't.
Yeah,
do the things that have gone on for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's been talk about Russian interference and the like, and that's something that, quite frankly, people are still concerned about. And again, that's a nonpartisan issue. I don't know whose side Valerie Putin's going to take tomorrow.
And the caller is right. We should mention it. There may not be equivalency, but we should at least mention it. And that gets us back to the objective for the next 7 minutes, which is saving the world, and really trying to find some ways that we can pull this, what has become very polarized dialogue, back together so that we're not angry at each other all the time.
So in 7 minutes, I'm going to give you an outline.
Okay.
I think there needs to be structural change with how we go about not counting votes, but in how we elect people. In a number of states, including Arizona now, in a number of states, there's already been some passage of this. Arizona is, there's groups looking at it, either open primaries, ranked choice voting, nonpartisan voting. Alaska just went through that process. California and Washington have that process. Maine has that process, right. And they have it even at some of them at the federal level. To allow everybody to vote on one ballot. Now, other than nonpartisan voting, just so everybody's clear, you're not losing the denominator. You're not losing the designator, DR. You're just letting everybody vote at the same time. Maybe you then take the top two in ranked choice voting. You let people vote for as many as five, and there's a process for getting it down to the one. The idea is, and I don't know that it always works, but the idea is that it allows people not to throw away a vote for somebody who can't win, but they can still vote them, but still then vote the others in a way that they think is reasonable.
We get a second shot.
Yeah. And the idea is also that it may bring us to more moderates. That seems to be at least the hope on both sides. The idea of nonpartisan voting really makes you go out. It takes out the DNR entirely. But in the other forms of voting, it just allows you to look at more than one choice. That's the structural
and
side.
And we should mention structurally that the founders of this country never intended this to be a democracy. It's a republic. They never intended necessarily for majority to rule. They assumed, however, that most of the time it would.
Nor did they envisioned, but they did not establish political parties.
Right.
That was Thomas Jefferson. He got upset with, you know, some folks. Behaviorally, which is much more difficult, maybe, things like national service, where we require, like many countries do, that when you know, between the ages of 18, 21, somewhere, you go and you serve your country for a year or two. Could be militarily, could be civilly, but it's a way, and it's worked in a lot of countries. Israel's a really good example of how to bring people together culturally and understand that we are one country.
That's near and dear to my heart. I've been pounding the table, this very table, for several years about national service. It just seems to me that because we have segregated ourselves, not just through media, but where we live.
We've had one of our secretarial state candidates say he knows Trump won because he doesn't know anybody who voted for Joe Biden. I had somebody in my office today say, it kind of came as a surprise to me, well, I don't know anybody who voted for Donald Trump. We can't continue to live in those silos like that because we really don't know what the other side is thinking.
So national service can force people together. Now, hopefully they won't kill each other.
No, they won't. They won't. And I'm telling you, they won't. I mean, it works. Higher priority on civics education, of people understanding our history without making it a red, flash issue. Electeds spending, once you're elected, spending time together. There's groups out there that will, nonprofits that will come into state legislatures and have programs to have people sit together from the different parties to get to know each other. We were talking off air. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned during the break that if a Dem is seen talking to a Republican or vice versa, they're done.
Yeah, and that makes it very difficult. So, we're going to go to the ballot. Hopefully people are going to be reasonable and think hard about the issues and who represents them on the issues on the who's to be elected, but also to look at these ballot propositions because those are significant items that the reason they're there is because they need to go to the people. And so, we'll know a lot more after the first Tuesday in November.
So an educated electorate, an electorate that comes to the polling places or votes however they can legally vote in a way that where they bring to it a certain amount of preparation And so it's not just down the Republicans or down the Republican or the Democratic party lines. So we're running short. I always run short. Thank you so much, Mayor Rothschild, for being here. I hope we solved some problems today.
Well, at least gave some people some ideas. My pleasure.